Welcome to this ASP.NET video of tips and tricks. We thought this would be a great place to showcase a lot of the miscellaneous features around ASP.NET 2.0 that we found were very useful during the creation of this video, but otherwise we needed a place to fit the features that didn't fit in the other videos. So we're going to start with a new website like we do in all the videos. And we'll call this Tricks. And I think one of the greatest features that we have here is something that I personally spent a lot of time with working around in ASP.NET 1.1, and that is encrypting sections in your web config. If you recall, if you've seen the data video, the web config, the connection settings area, is where we store the connection information for our database. Now, frequently, you might have a username and password in here, and that's kind of the Achilles heel, because you have to store the password information in clear text. Well, there's a really easy way to encrypt that information and decrypt it, and I'll show you how that works right now. So we'll start by first creating, let me add a new page just for this piece. So we'll create a new web form for that will use the protected section of the web config. And let's see, we need some data to work with. I already have a connection to a separate machine that has a database installed on it, so I'll drag the customers table over. And by doing this, I'll get a data grid and also a SQL data adapter. Now, if I switch to the web config file, you'll see that the connection string was added automatically here. But look at the connection string. It's not a very good one. It's not using integrated authentication. It's using the old SQL Server style with a user ID and password. So we would like this information to be encrypted. So let's go back to the page. Let me remove some of the columns. We just don't need to see all of this. Okay, that's good. Okay, I need two buttons. The first button will enable the encryption on that section of the web config, encrypt, and my second button will turn it off. So we'll make this one clear. So let's add the handlers for both buttons. I'll just do it quickly by double-clicking on both. And I'm going to bring in some code I have sitting around here in this notepad. Let me copy this and paste it in. I will explain it. So the first chunk of code goes here at the top, this import namespace command, because we're using some features out of system web config. And then we have a function called encrypt config that takes a boolean, true or false, and we'll call that. I think the first button enables encryption, encrypt config true, and encrypt config false. Let me explain the code. So the relative path to our web.config file is located here off the name of our site. I use the web configuration manager to open it up, open the local config file, because you can have these web configs at different layers, different levels in your site. So I want the one at the top level. I want to get the connection setting, the connection string section from the config file, and then either encrypt it using protect section or decrypt it using unprotect section, and finally just save it. So it's just a little simple piece of code right there. So I'll bring this up in a browser. Okay, we see that it works just fine right now, and just to double check, the web config section here is not encrypted. If I hit scroll down to the very bottom and hit encrypt, the page will refresh, the code runs, and if I switch back here, sure enough it says the file's been modified, and there it is, encrypted. If I go back and hit refresh, the query still works just fine, and I can hit clear text to send it back to normal. So you can see it's just a little bit of code to do that. Now you have to execute that code on every machine that's going to run this, but it's a very handy trick to know about. Actually, there's another handy trick. Notice that I have to scroll down to the bottom each time. Watch this. If I go to protect.aspx and at the top put maintain scroll position on postback and set that equal to true, when I go here to the bottom and encrypt it again, and then go try clear text, notice now it's keeping it at the bottom. So it's remembering the scroll position when I hit these buttons, even though the page is refreshing. Very simple. It's something that's very frustrating if you have to implement that by hand. All right, let's move on to the next tip. So I don't need these two areas anymore. we're going to talk about something called cross-page posting. And for that, I need two pages, page one and page two. Page two. Now on the first page, we want to have a simple form. And what we'll do, we'll take the contents of this text box and whatever we select in this calendar control and pass those two values to another page, page two. Now normally you'd have to do this trick using some kind of session variable. So the button click would be handled inside page one. You'd stick the two values of the text box and the calendar into a session variable and then do response.redirect or server transfer over to page two. It's kind of cumbersome and doesn't really make it easy to work with. What we have to do instead is just go to the button and find the postback URL and map that to page2.aspx. And I think that's actually all we have to do for this page. Let me save it. Now go to page two. This is the page we want to, we'll spit something back out showing you what you typed in that label. And finally, we'll just drag page one on here to have a hyperlink to get back. So in the source code for this, I'm going to add a form, page load method. So we'll execute this body of code if the page is not in the postback state. And we'll set the label one text equal to, and so you can see where the problem is. We want to set this equal to data coming from the other page. So I'll set up a string.format just to make it clean. I'll say hello 0, you clicked on 1. Now here's where we need to reference the controls from the previous page. And just as you would expect, there's an option here called previous page. I do find control and I want the text box 1. Now it doesn't know what it's returning text box 1 as. In fact, let me do this because this code is going to get a little bit complicated. Let's put it right here. So we know that text box 1 is a text box. So I'll create a variable t as text box and I'll set it equal to the return value of previous page, but I'm going to need to cast that to a text box. So to do that, I use ctype and put all that inside of a text box. Okay, same idea for the calendar control. I'll set that equal to the control on the previous page. Find control, calendar 1, and cast that to a calendar. I'm not sure if this is case sensitive, but I'll put that T like that. Okay, now I have access to T's text value and the selected value for the calendar, which I believe is selected date. So we'll see if this works. Ah, before I continue, I've got another trick to show you. I want to just start typing right now, but notice that the cursor is not set to this text box, and I'm guessing the enter key is not mapped to this button. There's a quick thing you can do to fix that, and this is new with ASP.NET 2.0. Inside the form tag, you can now set a default button and a default text box, and it will set the focus for you. So if I scroll to... for the form, default button is button 1, and the control that has the default focus is text box 1. Much better. So let's bring this up in the browser. Now I can start typing right away without setting the caret. If I hit enter, it goes straight to the page. You can see, oh, I probably should have selected something. Let me try that again. So January 31st, Scott, there. So you can see we did the cross-page posting and we were able to enable something I really like, and that's the default button and default focus. Okay, so let me bring up default.aspx and we'll do the rest of our work here. The first thing I want to show you, let's see, this demo will be about using the bulleted list control. So I'll just give a little header section there. So if we look down here, we have this thing called bulleted list, and this is new. I can tie it directly to a couple of items that I just add here. Let's say it's a list of hyperlinks. So the text could be Microsoft, and I'll have the value be Microsoft.com. And for now, I'll just have one entry in there. If we go into the properties for that control, I can have it interpret the value items as a hyperlink. And that is under display mode. I'll make them hyperlinks. Show you this in a browser. You can see it just changed it to an underline, and you can see this will go to Microsoft.com if I click on it. But even more interesting is I can, like a lot of the other controls, bind it to a data source. So what I'll do, I'll create a list of hyperlinks. So I'll create an XML file. I'll call it hyperlinks. So very quickly, I'll show you a couple of the features of the XML editor. It's pretty easy, especially just to create kind of a link on the fly. So our first link will be called Microsoft, and the URL is Microsoft.com. And I'll do a link for MSDN. Okay, and finally one for ASP.NET. Okay, that's good. So we'll go back to our bulleted list control and bind it to a data source. I have to create a new data source. Choose XML file. And of course, I could bind it to other things like a database or any arbitrary object. But we'll go to the XML file and choose hyperlinks. Now, this little wizard's smart enough to inspect it and see what options I have. I'll choose to bind the text to the text item and this to the URL and hit save. Now we have to bring it up here in order to see it. And here we have these three. So it's pretty handy if you're using bulleted list or you need a list of hyperlinks. Works great. Okay. Let's move to the next piece. I'm just going to use little HTML HR tags just to separate the little demos. Now I'm going to talk about the file upload control. If you need to have a means to upload files to your site, it's pretty easy. First, you drag the file upload control, and here you get the browse button and a text box where the user would go browse to the local path in their computer for a file. I need a button to actually do the upload itself. So let me change the text to upload. And then I'll have a server-side hyperlink, which I'll set to point to the resultant file that's been uploaded. So we'll save that. Now let me create a folder here. And this folder will hold the files that we upload. Upload. That's fine. Upload. Okay, first we have to make sure that the end user actually put a file to be uploaded and they just didn't hit the upload button. So if the file upload one control has a file to be uploaded, then we'll execute this code. We want to tell the upload control to go ahead and save that file, but I have to base it off the local folder here. I need to give it a local path. Let's see, upload was the file name, or the file path, and then I will append to that the file upload one dot file name. And I'm going to need that again a couple times, the actual file name. And we tell it to go. So that's going to save it. And then we'll set our hyperlink text equal to the name of the file. And set the hyperlink navigate URL equal to upload slash and the name of the file. I think that will be good. I have a file on my desktop that I can upload, and we can bring it up. Perfect. So you can see the file upload is real easy to use. And you should probably do some scrubbing on the file name and path that's coming in. You'll probably need to lock down the folder a bit more, but I just wanted to show you it's pretty easy to get a file name and start the upload process. Now the next piece I want to show you is something called URL mapping. This is really handy if you have a file on your system or in your website that has a really obscure URL or something that's complicated and you want to give it a simpler name or a more human readable name. And I have a handy GUID right here ready to go to demonstrate this. Let's say you have an HTML file called GUID underscore and then some crazy long name. And this works with HTML or ASP.NET or any page really. So I have a really long name here. Actually, I better keep that. Yeah, I'll just keep that long name on here, and it's empty, so that's fine. But if I want to have a hyperlink to that on my site, I would normally just drag it over. But you have a pretty long name. Instead, let's say I want to have a hyperlink that's simpler, and I'll put one equal to just GUID.htm. Now this page doesn't actually exist on our site, but that's okay because in the web config we can use the URL mapping to point to that file. So if I go to web config under system web, I turn on URL mappings. I need to enable it to true. Okay, I need to add an entry for the URL and make it relative to our site, GUID.htm. And then the mapped URL is equal to that really long, ugly looking name. So we'll save that and go back to our page and give that hyperlink a shot. So that one should work, but this is the one that we're testing, GUID.htm. And it works. Well, it goes to a page that's empty, but believe me, it does work. So that is the URL mapping. The final piece I want to show you is a new control called the multi-view. Now the multi-view is quite interesting. It's a very easy way for you to have a body of like imagine div tags that you can show and hide dynamically, but you can do it programmatically. In fact, I'm going to take these three little demos and make them all selectable inside this multi-view. And the way it works, of course, is through some dragging and dropping. I bring the multi-view onto the page, and I need a view component for each one of these three sections. So that's our first one. View 1 will contain the whole bulleted list demo. Okay. View 2 is going to go right there. View 2 will have the file upload demo. And view 3 will contain the URL mapping demo. Let me just clean up these HRs. Okay, good. Now I need a programmatic way to choose which view is active at any time. So for that I'll use a radio button list and just drop it in right there and have it automatically post back so we get the change events. And I'm going to code these by hand. So we have three of them. Our first one is the bulleted list. And I'm going to give that a value of 0, and you'll see why in a second. List item 1 is the file upload. And the final one is URL mapping, which has a value of 2. And let me set this up so it's horizontal instead of vertical. Okay, now the code that's executed when you change that is selected, indexed, changed. So we'll drop into the handler for that, which is empty. So let's do this. So we have a multi-view 1. The active view index, it's going to be a 0, 1, or 2 because we have three views. I'm going to set that equal to the radio button list 1 to its selected indexed. Or actually the selected value, probably the same thing. So with just one line of code, we can switch between the views there. So let's save that and bring it up in a browser. So I'll choose bulleted list, file upload, URL mapping. So it's a great way if you have a lot of code or a lot of design on your page that you need to hide, or if you need to be able to dynamically show and hide pieces, that's a good way to do it. So that's our tips and tricks video. Hope you enjoyed it and get a chance to look at some of the other videos. I think you'll find a lot more hidden features that we didn't specifically call out, but there's a lot here, and I hope you have a good chance to use some of these techniques in your next site.